This month on The King of Instruments, we're taking some time to remember the organist and composer Paul Mons. Last week we learned about his well-known hymn festivals that he performed all around the country. This week we talk with some of his students and colleagues about his music and what made it unique. In the 1950s, Mons was given leave to study in Belgium with Flor Peters, and then in Germany with Helmut Walscher. These experiences broadened his horizons and shaped the way his music and improvisations were formed. David Cherwin gives us some examples of how specific musical ideas appear in Mons' modern music. He uses the movements of the Partita on St. Anne as an example.
Well, Paul Mons talked frequently about how music can convey pictures or images that would come from the texts of the hymns that we're interpreting. So his improvisations weren't just out of the blue or just exercises in how many different things can you do. It always came from the text, but he employed practices that come from history when composers, especially church organists, started doing that. Of course, chief among them is J.S. Bach. And in that time, Bach, in the Baroque era, made use of little motifs that would convey some kind of affect or mood. And one of them that Paul Mons uses in his is this. Da, 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 da. And what that is a Baroque figure for joy. And you'll find it in Bach's Orgelbüchlein. Or another one is this one. And that's another affect for joy. And so he once gave me the assignment of coming up with Now Thank We All Our God that depicts joy using that Baroque affect figure. And this is what I came up with. And also the forms itself. In the second movement of his Partita, he makes use of an ornamented chorale where the entrances first imitate the melody. And then the melody comes in with ornamentation. So that's very much from the Baroque era. So that becomes kind of a paint-by-numbers depiction. And then his third movement from that is the canon. Very soft, which comes from the music of Marcel Dupré. And then this presto, which is one of the most fun movements, uses the Baroque figure called the trillo, which is excitement. But more importantly, what Paul Mons is doing in that movement is depicting the river. Time like an ever-rolling stream soon bears us all away. So you get this image of a babbling brook. It really is fun, and people always smile, and we add the Zimbelstern, of course, which sort of adds the butterflies into stomach. And then a pastoral movement, which many Baroque composers would include as a variation that would give the image of a shepherd caring for his sheep in the field. And the text that he interprets here is, like flowery fields, the nations stand pleased with the morning light. And so he gets that 6-8 back and forth in the pastoral thing. And then the finale is a classic fugue, making use of that trillo figure again, but outlining the melody. So the melody is always present in the subject as well as that trillo fugue. So he was always pressing to learn more literature, because it's from the literature that you would learn more things to do creatively in my own music. And so I learned that from him. But I asked him, was this intentional? Did you learn all this in school? All these things to employ the Baroque figures to create an affect? And he says, no, I just absorbed it. Because he lived so solidly in that tradition that he just absorbed it.
The one other thing I wanted to be sure to say about Paul was his excellence in performing in the literature. I think towards the end of his career, he was so well known and beloved as a designer and executor of hymn festivals that it was relatively rare that he would be asked to come as a guest and do a recital. When I first heard him play a recital, which was in the Episcopal Cathedral in Spokane, Washington, during an American Guild of Organists regional convention, I happened to be presenting at the convention. He was too, he did a recital. Straightforward, typical recital. I don't even remember if we sang a hymn. And it was fabulous. And he played French Romantic, he played one of the Franck chorales. It was gorgeous, both from a scholarship standpoint and a musical standpoint. This man knew what he was doing. And I think it's important to remember that as a musician, he was wonderfully trained. When he was in Europe on the Fulbright with Flor Peters, he was studying organ music, not necessarily improvisation, although he did that too. And so I think that's very important to note. And Paul would always talk about the fact that improvisation was a practice discipline, just like playing the literature was a practice discipline, because it wasn't magic. No, it was just plain old-fashioned hard work. You had to learn how to do it. Once you learned how to do it, then you could do it.
Well, his improvisations that he published were a result of introductions to hymns. And what he would do is bring to the console just a small sheet of paper, which would have maybe two measures of music with a little idea. He'd write the idea down, and then sometimes he would put chordal progressions down, like, you know, 1, 4, 5, 6 or something. And then from there, he'd just work these things out. And they were never the same. You know, I heard one that he began at St. Luke, and then, you know, a couple weeks later, I heard him here in the office working it out a little bit different, and then he would try different things till it came to a point where he was satisfied with it. Sometimes in the service situation, they were shorter than what they were when they were published. And then the other thing he would do is a lot of registration changes. I mean, there was never any two stanzas that were the same in terms of registration. Tempo was always the same. Every stanza was the same tempo. Occasionally he would play around and he'd get an idea in the middle of a stanza and he would introduce a counter theme, another hymn, you know. And if you're listening carefully, it served as a kind of a commentary on what was going on at the moment. One other thing that he was pretty regular at, and I think most organists are, if they're talented, is that before the final stanza, there might be a little what we call Zwischenspiel, you know, a little music in between the lead and the final stanza.
Today we heard the voices of David Sherwin, John Ferguson, and Mark Bangert. Next week, we'll talk about the Mons family and his most famous anthem. So be sure to tune in next Sunday night.